mornings. I'm Chris Oakes, and coming up today, April is Distracted Driving Awareness Month, and the law is cracking down on those who aren't paying attention behind the wheel. Also this morning, around 90% of a child's brain development comes in the first 5 years. We'll talk about how to choose a preschool program that will maximize this time in a toddler's life. In our community and business spotlight this morning, after another successful fundraising campaign, the United Way of Hancock County is putting those dollars to use. And happening around town, Hero Up, we'll get a preview of this year's Silver Blades Ice Classic show. This is the Good Mornings Podcast Edition for Monday, March 24th, 2025. This is pretty cool. I saw this on the Newswire. Dolly Parton's Imagination Library of Ohio has celebrated 20 million books mailed to children across the Buckeye State. 20 million. That is quite the milestone. Program mails one free book per month for every child enrolled until that child turns 5 years old. And to celebrate that milestone of 20 million books in the state of Ohio, First Lady Fran DeWine read to children at the Greene County Public Library on Saturday. Had a story time there with the First Lady. The books reach 70% of households with children under the age of five. They do get some support from the Ohio General Assembly, but most of the funding comes from people who donate. And if you want to sign a child up, your child, grandchild, what have you, or if you want more information on how to donate, you can go to ohioimaginationlibrary.org. I think that is absolutely fantastic. I have to mention, speaking of the Imagination Library, thought it was very nice. I spoke to the Kiwanis Club this past Wednesday and at their regular meeting, and as a thank you for speaking and taking the time to do that, they made a donation to the Imagination Library as a thank you. And I thank them for that. Thank you for the invitation and thank you for the donation. It's a wonderful, wonderful cause. So I just thought that was pretty cool. 20 million books is sent to Ohio children from the Dolly Parton Imagination Library. What else is going on? Among the first things that you need to know this morning, the most interesting and buzzworthy stories of the day. Every day we have to have a doom and gloom story, right? A society is doomed, we're all going to die story. Something that we're concerned about, fearful of, worried over. And this is our doom and gloom story of the day. A large destructive water rodent has invaded the United States, and apparently this is in Central California. The nutria, which is native to South America, is a semi-aquatic animal that looks like a cross between a rat and a beaver, and it's made its way to Fresno County. Officials with the California Department of Fish and Wildlife say the 20-pound creature can consume up to 50 pounds of plants per day, both above and below the waterline, destroying plants, crops, and fragile ecosystems. So apparently this is the latest thing that's going to... We're all going to die because of this large destructive water rodent that has invaded the U.S. and is killing the crops in Central California. Although, wait a minute. It looks like a cross between a rat and a beaver and eats 2.5 times its body weight every day. You sure you're not talking about my brother-in-law? That's the... I kid because I care. No, so that is what we're worried about today. That's the latest doom and gloom story. If not that, then this, kind of interesting. I saw in the Newswire, a new study has found that young people under the age of 50 who consume marijuana are more likely to have a heart attack. 6.2 times more likely to experience a heart attack, to be specific, than non-marijuana users. Study also shows that young marijuana users are more likely to experience heart failure and stroke. The lead researcher in the study says until there is more solid data, he advises people to try and regulate their cannabis use. But, you know, we've got this water rodent that's invaded the country. We're all going to die anyway, so I don't know that it matters anymore. I just don't know that it matters anymore. Speaking of doom and gloom, I thought this story was also kind of interesting off the Newswire, especially since we're, what, about a month, little over a month out from Valentine's Day. And if your romance seems to be waning, a new study out of Germany has pinpointed the exact moment a relationship is doomed. The exact moment a relationship is doomed. Scientists uncovered a two-phase terminal decline in relationship, in the trajectory of a relationship. A two-phase terminal decline. It involves first a gradual decrease in happiness, followed by a steep drop between 7 and 28 months before separation. Between 7 and 28 months, which is a little bit like saying between 10 and 90% of people are going to get married at some point. You know, it's that's such a wide range, but that's what it is. 7 to 28 months before separation is the steep decline in this terminal decline trajectory of a relationship. On average, the reason why this is significant says on average, the partner who will instigate the breakup enters this phase about a year before the partner who receives the news, which is why, and this is why the research is pertinent and relevant, this is why they say one partner usually feels more prepared for the breakup than the other. So if you have ever been blindsided by a breakup, that is why, because one person appears to be about a year ahead of the other person on this terminal decline in the relationship. So one partner is more prepared than the other. Researchers recommend taking action before this terminal phase begins if unsatisfied couple members are still in the pre-terminal phase and have not yet reached the transition point. Efforts to improve the relationship may be more effective, according to the author. So, if you have a relationship that just isn't, don't have that spark anymore, get on that. Fix that ASAP, because you don't want it to end that terminal steep decline in your relationship. Again, I thought it was kind of interesting, again, given that we are about a month after Valentine's Day now. Some of the magic may be wearing off. And how about this? This is an... I saw this story on the Newswire, and it just boggles my mind that we have reached this point, and I'm not sure what this says about American society today. And there are all kinds of different layers to this, but here is the story. DoorDash and Klarna. So DoorDash, the meal delivery service, and Klarna, the buy now, pay later service. You see where this is going? DoorDash and Klarna have teamed up to give customers the option to pay for your food delivery in installments. Yes, that's right. You're taking out a loan for your burrito. Diners will now have the option. You order on DoorDash, you now have the option to pay in full, pay in four installments, or postpone payments to a more convenient time. So if you get a craving like 3 or 4 days ahead of payday, you can go ahead and order now and pay later. The orders are interest-free if paid off in four equal installments. I'm not sure what this says about American society that we are taking out a loan for our fast food cravings. But it also probably says something about the rising cost of food, of fast food. The orders says buy now, pay later offerings may provide an alternative to customers wary of using a credit card, which is obviously not a real good idea either, to put that that Big Mac on the plastic. And you pay a lot more for it if you end up paying interest on your Mickey D's order or what have you. But Consumer Reports warns against buy now, pay later loans, as the interest there can accrue the longer a customer takes to pay it off. So if you don't pay it off and for easy installments, then you face penalties and fines and all of that, and the interest does get even higher than with a credit card. But boy, I don't know. What does that say? We are taking out loans for our fast food. Boy. There you go. Some of the most interesting and buzzworthy stories to get your Monday morning started.
WFIN News, I'm Matt Demchek. Your WTOL 11 weather. Partly sunny and windy today with a high in the mid-40s. Partly cloudy tonight, low around 30. The Hancock County Sheriff's Office says two people were arrested after a high-speed pursuit. The Sheriff's Office says deputies responded to Township Road 122 in Mount Corey on the report of people walking in a field and arguing. As deputies responded to the area, the individuals drove off in an SUV. Deputies attempted to conduct a traffic stop on the vehicle, but it failed to stop, leading deputies on a five-mile pursuit that reached speeds in excess of 100 miles per hour. When the vehicle finally came to a stop, the driver fled on foot into a field and was apprehended by a Findlay Police Department canine. He was taken into custody on charges of failure to comply with a police officer and an outstanding arrest warrant. A passenger was also taken into custody for an outstanding arrest warrant. The sheriff's office said suspected cocaine, methamphetamine, and copper wire believed to be stolen were located during the investigation. Get more in this story on our website. The Ohio Department of Health says the state has its first measles case of the year.
The infected person is an adult from Ashtabula County in northeast Ohio. State health officials are working with the Ashtabula County Health Department to follow up on potential exposures. Measles is extremely contagious, and if people are not protected against the disease, 9 out of 10 people who are exposed will get sick. The easiest way to protect yourself from measles is to get vaccinated.
ONN's Kate Burdett reporting. Area children in grades 5 to 8 are invited to participate in the STEAM Club at the University of Findlay's Mazza Museum. The Mazza Museum says the six-week after-school program with a theme of Pump Up the STEAM is designed for the innovators of tomorrow. Each session will cover a different topic in science, technology, engineering, arts, and math, and will be led by field experts. The Mazza Museum says if students are interested in science or how the Earth works, this would be the perfect after-school activity for them. Registration is required. Get more details in this story on our website. Remember, you can always get more news online at WFIN.com.
Our cover story this morning, it is the latest in our ongoing series of crime prevention conversations. Finlay Police Department Crime Prevention Officer Brian White is with us this morning. April, which is right around the corner now, hard to believe.
It is, yeah.
April is Distracted Driving Awareness Month, so thought it would be a good time for a refresher course on the do's and don'ts of distracted driving, because the law is cracking down on those who are not paying attention.
Yeah, absolutely. It used to be because of the way the law was written, there weren't really a lot of traffic stops for people on their cell phones, simply because it was a secondary offense.
Right.
As of last year, it became a primary offense, which means just having a phone in your hand can get someone stopped.
That's the key. Just having it in your hand,
correct,
is enough for law enforcement to pull you over and potentially cite you for distracted driving.
That's correct. Now, there are some exceptions, such as if someone is at a stoplight or a stop sign, the vehicle stopped, basically. Mm-hmm. They are allowed to manipulate the phone at that point. Mm-hmm. If someone is using it for an emergency, obviously, that would be another exception.
Yeah.
It could be someone's using it for official duties. Maybe it's a work-related thing that's exempt under the law. For instance, truck drivers sometimes have a mobile data terminal, mm-hmm. police, fire, EMS, things like that.
Mm-hmm. So is it specifically, and again, I guess the question is not specifically talking on the phone. I mean, holding the phone to your ear and talking on the phone, it, just having it manipulating, you know, clicking an app or, sure. or whatever, that's
Oddly enough, there's also one more exception. If the phone is already engaged in a phone call and you have it up to your ear, you're okay there. That was an exception put in place.
Okay.
Now, you cannot be looking down at the phone, right, and trying to dial up a number or use it to try and find a location or answer a question.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of the goal of the laws. Basically, don't be manipulating the phone in the process. Now,
so eyes up and absolutely. Eyes on the road is the idea. Now, the thing is, there are so many distractions in our vehicles already.
Yeah, absolutely.
So most modern vehicles have that interface with the phone on your infotainment system.
Absolutely.
Does that change things at all, or what's the deal? Because again, if you're manipulating things on that screen, potentially again you're being just as distracted.
Yeah, I think the way that the law was written was under the presumption that when the vehicle is moving, most of those are shut down by the vehicle manufacturer.
Gotcha.
Right? I think that's kind of the idea. Mm-hmm. However, if someone is using it for directions and hitting the navigation button, that is also permissible.
Okay.
Right. But again, that is a distraction, and everyone tends to think of just being on your cell phone as a distraction, but there's a lot of distractions in the car. It could be the kids in the back seat, right? It could be eating that Big Mac and cheese while you're driving.
Mm-hmm.
It could be someone yelling in the car. It could be doing makeup in the mirror while you're driving, right? I've seen all this.
Fiddling with the radio.
Yeah, absolutely.
Even can be a which is
huge distraction.
Yeah, which is another reason why you just leave it on WFIN all the time.
Absolutely.
No, but in all seriousness, when we think about distracted driving, I think maybe there's a tendency to think that the phone is the be-all and end-all, and certainly it's right up there at the top,
sure.
but not the only one, and we have to be cognizant of it.
Yeah, driving is a full-time job. I mean, we need to pay attention to the road. Even though we are looking up, looking down, some people think they can do that, text and drive, right? I look up, I look down, I'll be safe.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is it takes our brain time to comprehend what our eyes are taking in. And even though we might see that car in front of us, we don't see the brake lights turn on. We don't see the turn signal. And mm-hmm. we end up with a lot of what we call ACDA crashes, a sure clear distance, where someone just rear ends a car in front of them.
Yeah. The best way to avoid those distractions with the phone is to just put it away.
Yeah, set to the side. I mean, that message, it can wait.
Mm-hmm.
When we talk about crashes related to distracted driving, we're talking about half of all crashes mm-hmm. are the result of some form of distraction, right? And that equates to about 3,500 deaths in the United States. And according to NHTSA, National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, that's about 360,000 injuries. I mean, that's a lot.
Yeah.
And then, of course, there's a monetary value associated with cars destroyed, damaged mm-hmm. in the process as well.
And hiked up insurance rates along with that.
That goes more towards the penalty side of things, right? The consequences.
Yeah, yeah. So it's not just a citation that can hit you in the pocketbook either.
Yeah, for first-time offense, it's up to $150 plus 2 points on your license, which we know how that can result mm-hmm. in higher insurance.
Right.
And then it just goes up from there. Mm-hmm. It could be up to $250 the next time plus 3 points. And then a third violation, we're talking about up to $500 and 4 points on your license.
Yeah. So some serious consequences for all of this. And presumably the interfaces with the Apple CarPlay and Android Auto and things like that are there to make things safer. But going back to that, again, we have to be cognizant that that may or may not always be the case.
Yeah, in every year, it seems like vehicle manufacturers are trying to simplify things to make mm-hmm. it less of a distraction. Although sometimes you look at these cars and you kind of wonder, right?
Right, yeah.
But I think the overall goal is to try and make things safer when it comes to technology in the car.
The idea is just being cognizant of all of those things that can distract people from what they should be doing.
And it's easy, right? A lot of people become distracted just in the process. this. I mean, just driving a car, sometimes we let our mind wander, right? More of a cognitive distraction where we're just thinking about the stuff that we have to accomplish.
So much of this, too, is younger people who are more technology natives, who are, this is so much more ingrained in what they do every day, probably think about this a little bit less than maybe you or I do.
And it's good that you brought that up, because when we do talk about exemptions to the law, there are no exemptions for those under the age of 18 because they are brand new drivers. And we don't want them on their phones at all, right? Because they're just trying to get more experience behind the wheel.
Right. So making sure that the kids understand that they are held to a tighter standard.
Absolutely.
When it comes to this, and we need to model that behavior like everything else.
Yep. Beat me to it. I was going to say the same thing. Model that behavior. If we're on our phones while we're driving, better believe they're going to be on their phones. And the consequences are much more severe for them because it's a possible loss of their license, right? Turn 16, you just get your license. Now all of a sudden you lose it.
Taken away.
Mom, dad's driving you to sporting events, right?
Nobody wants that.
Right.
Nobody wants that. So the bottom line, and again, as we mentioned, April is Distracted Driving Awareness Month, but this is something that we need to be cognizant of all the time. Having that conversation with your kids, and maybe even reminding yourself.
Yeah, in all seriousness, it can save a life.
Yeah. Absolutely. We've got a link for more information about Distracted Driving Awareness Month and all of the distractions that are there. Again, we think of the technology as being the number one thing, but there are so many others.
Yep. Just kids in the backseat screaming at each other. That's it. You just easily lose focus on what we're doing.
So be very careful with that. Go to goodmornings.net to learn more. Again, Findlay Police Department Crime Prevention Officer Brian White with us this morning. Brian, thanks very much.
Hey, Chris, thanks for having me.
Well, science tells us that 90% of a child's brain develops in the first 5 years. Early learning experiences shape a child's health, growth, character, and happiness, so it's not hard to figure out why it's important to maximize this time in your child's life. High-quality preschool not only provides children with an educational foundation, it also offers important life skills that they will need throughout not just their school years, but also beyond. Dr. Amy Jackson is a former classroom teacher and educational consultant. Dr. Jackson, tell us about some of the benefits that an early education during those first 5 years provides, and how far behind are kids who don't get that quality structured foundation even before kindergarten?
Sure. Well, thank you for having me here. You said it so beautifully. 90% of a child's brain develops in the first 5 years. So what this means for us is that every experience they have in that time shapes really who they become, their health, their growth, their learning, their overall health, their happiness and well-being. So, it's essential that we maximize this time. The good news is children are learning, no matter whether we're trying or not, they do. But the higher quality environment and the more enriching experiences that we can provide in this time do matter.
So for parents who are considering preschool programs, what are some of the factors that they should consider, that they should keep in mind, the questions that they should ask, and so on?
Yeah, it's a great question. So if a family's made the decision that they're looking for a center or a school for their child at any age in early childhood, I say the same thing of A, and first and foremost, trust your gut. A really great early learning environment should feel like an extension of home. You should see teachers who are engaged with children and caring. You should see children who are happy and, filled with this joy of learning that really should come to life in these environments. Then when you go a little further, parents really need to be asking questions about what is communication like? How are teachers supported? How are they trained? That's a really important one. And then, of course, what's the programming like? How is the day structured, and what curricula is used, and and why. Those are incredibly important to understand.
Now, there is also the argument that putting kids at younger and younger ages into these structured programs, no matter how well-researched and well-intentioned, that's not really what's best for them, that it's akin to letting strangers raise your children. What's wrong with stay-at-home parenting or letting grandma and grandpa keep care of the kids while mom and dad are at work? I mean, that's the way it was done for generations. Are you saying that that is actually detrimental to their development?
No. I'm certainly an advocate for choice and what feels best for family. Mm-hmm. If we do know the economic reality of a lot of households today is that there are two working parents, or maybe not the local support system that they had in years prior. We're seeing that as a trend across the nation, but certainly not. I think families, I encourage families to make choices that feel right for them and their child.
The reason I ask is because I know that there are some families who have found that doing a little bit of both actually becomes a pretty good option, allowing kids to stay at home or stay with family members sometimes and then so many days a week attending a more structured preschool program. Is that, can that be the best of both worlds?
It can be. It's common, and it's a common approach. I actually did that with my children when they were younger. I kind of had this hybrid. And at Primrose Schools, a lot of schools do offer that flexibility. Mm-hmm. And regardless, even if you have to have your child in a facility or school during the daytime, there is so much that a parent can do wrapped around that from, morning till bedtime when they're with their child, and the weekends when they're with their child to support their learning as well.
You bring up such a good point that regardless of how many days a week your kids may attend a structured preschool program, whether that's, one day a week or 5 days a week or whatever it might happen to be, regardless, parents and the preschool partners should be just that, should be partners. There should be that partnership. What should parents and families expect from that partnership?
Mm-hmm. An interesting point on this, a statistic I heard is 82% of parents today consider preschools to be part of their support system. So we do know that they're looking to providers. And certainly at Primrose Schools, we are very committed to parent partnership and a school-to-home connection, we call it. This includes communication, really constant communication, photos throughout the day, as well as information about what a child is learning and what they're about to learn so that families can kind of play a role in it. We also do things where materials go home. We call it Og's reading bag, but Og's reading bag goes home with, an activity for families to do. We have the mm-hmm. same thing with math. So we try to bring the family into the learning and make sure that the family understands, not only what's happening in the school day, but what they can do to extend it at home.
Again, as we mentioned, it used to be we thought of kindergarten as being that really important jumpstart to a successful education, and it still certainly is. But what we know now is that kids really need even more because there's so much development that's going on even before the kindergarten years.
Right. Right. I think, understanding what brain science is telling us is really guiding us to some really great movement in, utilizing and maximizing the potential of the first 5 years. One thing we haven't fully hit on yet is the social, emotional, and character development that happens during this time period as well.
Yeah.
Social, emotional is a word or a term that we hear a lot now because we recognize how important it is for children to really develop those skills so that they can be happy, healthy adults later in life.
Absolutely. Again, Dr. Amy Jackson is with us. She's a former classroom teacher and educational consultant. Where do we get more information on choosing the right preschool program for our kids?
Yep. One place I would direct you to is primroseschools.com. It's the Primrose Schools website. It's got information about our unique programming, as well as a lot of resources for families and general guidance on our recommendations for identifying a provider that feels right. and high quality for your child.
Dr. Jackson, thanks very much for taking the time. We appreciate it.
Thank you. Have a good day.
Now, the Good Mornings Community and Business Spotlight.
Putting the United Way of Hancock County in the spotlight this morning, CEO Kelly McClurkin is with us. And I know over the past couple of months when we've talked mostly about VITA and the tax prep. Is there still a little bit of time?
There is still a little bit of time there. We literally, it's such a needed resource in our community that we only have a few days open until, you know, our cutoff is April 12th. There are a few days open. Jump on our website, uwhancock.org. That'll give you the phone number to call to schedule an appointment.
Hopefully by now most folks have signed up for that, but I'm sure there are always a few stragglers.
Yes, yeah. So I'm glad you mentioned it.
Let's talk a little bit about the campaign, which I know wrapped up not all that long ago, in the process of distributing those funds. A tremendously successful campaign once again this year.
This year we called campaign, wrapped it up at $1.7
million. Wow.
And that's due to, you know, lots of different, gifts, individuals, workplace campaigns, corporate donations, even external grants that we work for.
You know, big shout out, obviously, to everyone who donated and pledged their donations through the year, but also a big shout out to everyone who helped make the campaign happen, who, you know, go out and meet with all of those workers, who distribute all of the forms, and then those who get together to help decide where all of that money goes.
Right. There's literally countless people, our impact teams alone, which is who decides where that money goes, are upwards of 50 people. It takes volunteers, advocates, and donors to get through campaign. And we have a campaign cabinet that helps the volunteering of divisions and things like that. So when you are connected to United Way that way, no matter what voice you have, if it's a volunteer gift, if it's advocacy, or if you're a donor, we call you a difference maker.
Yes.
And that's what makes United Way who we are, are those difference makers. And because of them, we can continue to be that umbrella over the community.
Right. This is truly a community effort. And talk a little bit about that larger mission of the United Way.
So our mission is to measurably improve people's lives in Hancock County. That operative word being measurable. We do check in with our partner agencies and make sure what they ask the money, you know, for the money is what they're doing with it.
Right.
And they do amazing work. We have 15 partner agencies this year. But what makes United Way unique is when you're supporting us is instead of just helping one cause, we're helping many across the county. So we have that holistic help.
Yeah, not only through those direct programs that you fund with the partner agencies, but through the initiatives that you are part of through the United Way itself.
Yeah, all of those partner agencies fit in what we call like a bucket. Mm-hmm. So we fight hunger, we promote safety and health, we support safe housing and champion children's issues and foster financial stability. So we've got it all covered.
Yeah, and not only, as you mentioned, are you checking in to make sure that the dollars are being used wisely and that they are being used effectively? Mm-hmm. You also hear all kinds of stories about the ways in which the United Way touches real life individuals within
That's right.
the community.
You hit the nail on the head, Chris. We really pride ourselves in being good stewards of donors' dollars.
Yeah.
And some of those things, like you're connecting a grandmother to emergency food vouchers for her grandchildren that she unexpectedly is raising.
Right.
You're connecting low-cost rides to those who need it most, those who need rides to work, rides to medical appointments, to help them eventually get on their own feet with their with stable housing and their own transportation. And you're helping supply, I guess I should say, emergency shelter for a mother and her children who are survivors of domestic violence. So there's, you know, some of these, I'm not giving you impact stories today, but these are real situations that happen in our community.
And when you hear those stories and knowing that that is where those dollars, where those donations are going, then it makes it really easy to get up every day and do what you do. It probably makes it really easy to recruit all of the volunteers that you need to make those things like the campaign happen.
We like to say it feels good to do good. Yes. So, and it does feel good to go to work every day. The coolest thing about all of this, though, Chris, is all the money raised here stays right here in Hancock County. So that's what we are the most proud, I think, to say, is that all the dollars that come to United Way stay right here.
And even though the campaign has wrapped up, you're never going to turn away someone
no.
who wants to help.
No, campaign, we just have a season blocked out for, but as you just stated, we are always raising money too to make a difference in our community.
Right.
So,
where do folks learn more about the work of the United Way?
UWHancock.org. We have a great website with a lot of information if you want to get connected, if you have time to give or whatever that looks like to you. So we just invite you to become a difference maker along with us.
The United Way of Hancock County in the spotlight this morning. CEO Kelly McClurkin, thanks very much for dropping by.
Thank you, Chris.
The Community and Business Spotlight is a promotional advertisement paid for by the featured sponsor.
You're listening to Good Mornings with Chris Oakes on 1330 WFIN, WFIN.com, and 95.5 FM.
We interrupt this program to bring you a broken news alert.
There is madness, there's March madness, and then there is just complete madness. And this is complete madness. A group of guys in Georgia have set a world record by playing a single continuous basketball game for 121 hours and 3 minutes. 121 hours and 3 minutes. This is a group of guys in Georgia. They did it as a fundraiser to help fight sex trafficking, human trafficking. And they finally finished the game at 10 a.m. this past Friday. 121 hours and 3 minutes. That is taking March Madness to an extreme. By the way, the final score, 13,096 to 12,972. The final score. I want to know who kept score. Who was responsible for the stats of this game? Who ran the scorebook? Because that's pretty impressive in and of itself. Money raised for the game go to fighting sex trafficking and supporting survivors of sex trafficking. So it's all for a great cause. 121 hours and 3 minutes. I would think if you put me on a basketball court for 121 hours and 3 minutes, I might be able to score in the double digits in points. Might be able to get to 10 or 12 in that time frame. 13,096 to 12,972. That's actually pretty cool. And just in time for March Madness. Madness indeed. You know, last week, spring officially arrived, the spring equinox. And a German tourist was arrested in Mexico for scaling a Mayan pyramid during the celebration of the equinox. Thousands of tourists and locals alike head to this this place for the event, the Mayan pyramids in Mexico. But one visitor decided to break the rules and climb the pyramid known as El Castillo. According to a National Guard member who was there providing security, the guy eluded us. He's clearly in good physical condition. Video footage shows the 38-year-old German tourist, whose name was not given, actually reached the top of the pyramid before being caught and returned. He was later physically confronted by an angry crowd. And arrested. He faces fines under laws intended to protect archaeological, artistic, and historical monuments and sites. So I'm just happy that it was a German tourist and not an American tourist behaving badly, because we've had a number of those stories in the broken news. So I'm just glad that it wasn't an American tourist doing this. I love that he was physically confronted by an angry crowd upon coming down from the top of the pyramid. Yeah, don't do that. Don't do that. They don't take too kindly to that. Let's see. Nowadays, we're talking about the high price of eggs. It's usually due to the bird flu outbreak, but this is a little bit different. One egg has sold at an exorbitantly high price, even considering the price of eggs. I mean, this is a pretty big sale, even considering the price of eggs these days. This, according to the BBC, a perfectly round 1 in a billion egg has sold at auction for 420 pounds, British pounds, which is about $540. A perfectly round egg sold at auction for $540. 1 in a billion, they say. Proceeds benefit a battered women's crisis charity in England. Alison Green, the handler who discovered the round egg, says, "It felt like watching one of my children in a sports race where everyone was bidding. It was just brilliant." $540 for one egg. But perfectly round. 1 in a billion. I don't know if the bidder plans to make an omelet with that, or just what do you do with a perfectly round egg? Do you... I mean, it won't last forever. You would think after a while it's gonna go bad and start smelling. And I don't know, but that's $540 for it. Okay. A couple of other items here among the odd and unusual headlines in the broken news. The owner of a funeral home in Harlem is speaking out after he was beaten, robbed, and threatened with a machete last month. A funeral home. Who robs a funeral home? 66-year-old Daniel Wilhelmina tells the New York Daily News he was stunned by the holdup. He told the robbers, "You realize this is a funeral home, right?" He actually told the thieves, "You realize this is a funeral home." It's not a bank. It's not a bodega. It's not, you know. They stole his wallet and his cell phone, later used his credit cards to buy a pair of sneakers and a bottle of liquor. Mr. Wilhelmina told detectives that with tens of thousands of dollars in available credit on his credit cards, the thieves could have bought a lot more, so it could be a lot worse. But he said they should go to jail just for being stupid. Who robs a funeral home? Wow. I don't know if they went in just planning to rob him, or whether they got there, realized there wasn't anything else to steal, so they just robbed the guy. Funeral home, but that's crazy. Not exactly criminal masterminds there. And finally, in the broken news this morning, speaking of not criminal masterminds, this is a very unusual theft. And we've had some unusual thefts in the broken news, but this is unusual. Police in Clarksville, Tennessee, are looking for the crooks who made off with $25,000 worth of jewelry at a local Walmart. Really? At a local Walmart? They say the suspects shoplifted the items from the store. Two men took the merchandise from the jewelry counter and then walked out with it. The suspects were caught on surveillance video, and images can be seen on the Clarksville Police Department's Facebook page as the thieves are still at large and being sought. $25,000 worth of jewelry from Walmart. That's like the entire jewelry counter. They just make off with the whole thing, isn't it? Is there anything left? I mean, how much jewelry do they have? Walmart. There you go. That is today's broken news report. An update on the odd and unusual side of the headlines. We now return you to your regularly scheduled programming.
Your home for Cleveland Guardians baseball is WFIN.
A swing and a liner to right. That'll get down for a base hit. That'll score Ramirez. Naylor's coming right behind him. Scampering to third is Fry. And Brian Rocchio with a two-run single to right.
The Guardians open the season Thursday afternoon at Kansas City. Pre-game at 3:35 on 1330 WFIN and 95.5 FM.
Time now for your daily download, the numbers behind the news and the statistics that shape our lives. When it comes to relationships, what is the biggest factor in determining how solid, how strong, how lasting your relationship is? An interesting new survey of millennials by Talker Research. This was conducted for Newsweek. They asked 1,000 adults, but for millennials especially, the numbers kind of jump out at us here. 72% of millennials say that having similar hobbies is an important factor in a relationship. 72% having similar hobbies. 60% think shared taste in TV programs is important. Okay. But far and away, the number one priority in a good, solid, lasting relationship, according to millennials, 86% of those polled say good sex is the number one factor, prioritizing satisfying romps above all else. 86%. Qualities that are not highly important among this age group, and again, we're talking about 29 to 44-year-olds, include having similar lifestyles at just 39%, or sharing political views, which was only 24%. So is that a bit of a surprise? It was a surprise to me. Only 24, in this age of polarization, only 24% said shared political views are important in a relationship. Of all of the qualities that were asked about, more millennials selected that the quality of good sex was very important than any other factor, than any other single factor. In reacting to the results, relationship expert Emma Hewitt says that's all well and good, but she warns against thinking that good sex alone will trickle down into other parts of the relationship. She says it will not solve all your problems. If you can talk openly and effectively about sex and romance, you should be able to do the same about other elements of your relationship. I've said it before, and this is another one of those events that I look forward to every year because it is a sure sign that spring is right around the corner. I know technically spring is already here. Doesn't quite feel like it very much today, but you know that it's coming when we're talking about Silver Blades and the Ice Classics show, which is just a couple of weeks away. Kelly Coulter is here to give us a preview. Hero Up is the theme this year. Tell us about the theme.
Our theme is to celebrate our, not only like our local heroes, but we're going to go through like a comic books and movies and, you know, all the classic superheroes. But, you know, we're going to celebrate our everyday superheroes as well. Police officers, firefighters, first responders.
Yeah. Really cool. Defining that in the broadest terms. And so how many skaters are involved in Silver
72 Blades? In wow. The club. 72 wow. Of our skaters in the club.
Man. Yeah. And that ranges from what ages?
3 to 18.
Wow. So, and they've been working on this for how long?
Oh, gosh. A couple of months now.
Yeah.
We start working on the, providing the program for the show as soon as the last one's over. But
okay. Right. So all of the plans really, you know, that's almost like continuous. Mm-hmm. What is the season for Silver Blades, though? I mean, when does this all start and how?
The club starts in October.
Okay.
And then we end when our show ends. So it's usually the end of May or the end of March or the beginning of April. This year it's April, just the way our ice time falls. But we've got a couple months in there. And then during the spring and summer, we do We do some ice. Stuff on the ice too.
But. And aside from Ice Classics, which I know is the, you know, the big showcase event, what else do you do as a club through the course of that season?
Throughout the years?
Yeah.
Or throughout the year. We, I don't know, we try to have special events with the kids just to bring us closer together. It's like we're just like a little family there.
Yeah.
So
are there competitions or things like that?
Our synchro teams go to competitions, usually in Michigan, and then we have some of our individual skaters who like to do competitions as well. So that's always fun to spend the weekends in rinks.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's kind of the work, and then this is the fun part.
Yeah, well, and it's nice too because it allows our families to be able to come because a lot of times, you know, they don't want to travel 2 and 3 hours to a competition.
Sure.
So
yeah.
It's nice to be able to showcase our skaters and put a spotlight on our graduating seniors. So.
Mm-hmm. And a little less pressure with the fact that this isn't a competition.
Yeah,
here.
It's just fun.
It's just a fun way. And also a way to raise money for the club because it can't be cheap to be doing
this. No, it is our main fundraiser for the year. So mm-hmm. It helps, you know, lower the prices for our ice time throughout the year for our skaters. And
that's what I was going to say. What costs are associated that this helps offset?
It helps offset our ice time, our mm-hmm. show. So like a lot of times when kids have, you know, dance recitals or something like that, the parents are having to foot the bill for their outfits, you know, mm-hmm. we don't do that. It's all included in everything. So it helps offset those costs.
Yeah.
And make it more affordable.
And this is something that I would imagine, like any youth activity, whether we're talking about sports or anything else that kids are involved in, this can get rather expensive and maybe prohibitively so. And you don't want that to be the case.
Yeah, no. People. And honestly, you can make it. You can do it how you want to. You can mm-hmm. do it a little bit more recreationally or, you know, you can buy used ice skates. That's what I do for my girls. We buy used ice skates,
yeah.
You know, we can decide whether we want private coaching or not, whether or not we want to do competitions. We have a lot of kids who just want to learn how to skate and be in the show and have a good time.
Yeah.
So, you know, it all depends on what your goals are. So
yeah.
You don't have to deep dive into it, but, you know.
But for those that do, you don't want the expense to be something that holds them back.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
From the opportunity. Because this, again, like many other opportunities, is something that, you know, you can carry forward.
Yeah. Oh, I'm an alumni of Silver Blade. And, mm-hmm. you know, I have 4 children. They've all been in the club. And it's just really nice to have them all in the same place and the same activity.
How cool is that to see, like, generational things?
Yeah.
Because the Silver Blade, I don't mean to put you on the spot. I know this has been going on as long as I can remember, but how many years?
So this would have been our 50th show, but
with COVID
it is our 49th show. So, yeah, 49 years.
Yeah, that is amazing. So tickets are on sale now. The dates are, it's a couple of weeks from now, right?
Yes, April 4th, 5th, and 6th.
Okay.
So we'll be having shows.
How do folks get tickets?
Just go to our website, FinleySilverBlades.com, or you can just show up and purchase them at the door.
Okay. So. And there are always, in addition to the local skaters who've been working on their routines and their shows,
yes.
We have guest skaters coming in.
Yes, this year we have Star Andrews coming. She's a Team USA senior skater. She placed 6th, actually, this year at the U.S. Figure Skating Championships.
Very
cool. And then we have Logan Bai and Eva Pate returning. So they're a club favorite.
How cool is that to bring in those high-level skaters? Do they get a chance to interact with the kids?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, they come and hang out with the kids and sign autographs. And before the show, like when they're practicing, the kids get to go out and watch them. And so it's a lot of fun to see what they're able to do.
Do you ever give some pointers or, you know, things like that?
Yeah, they have sometimes in the past. Actually, when I was in the club, we actually had Oksana Bayul.
I was going to say, I remember years ago when Oksana
Bayul came to the club and she was on the ice with us and helped us. And I still remember that. And I have pictures and I tell people about it. And
that is so cool.
So
that is so
something
cool.
The kids always remember.
And if folks are interested in learning more, again, this is kind of the grand finale of the season.
Yep.
If somebody is interested, and I'm sure this happens quite often, that families will bring kids and they'll see this and kind of get stars in their eyes.
Absolutely. So we usually have like spring ice lessons where you're not joining the club, but it's like a 5 or 6 week session where you can go and try and learn to skate. And then we have another one in the fall.
Okay.
And so, yeah. give kids an opportunity to come in and get on the ice.
And we mentioned the tickets are on sale now. You don't have to get them in advance, but you can. And we've got a link on our webpage for more information about the Silver Blades Ice Classic show. Hero Up is the theme. Once again, Kelly Coulter is with us this morning. Kelly, thanks very much for dropping by.
We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me. And that will finish up our podcast for today. I want to thank all of our guests for joining us on the program this morning. And once again, a reminder, you can get more information about all of the topics that we talk about each and every day on the show at our webpage, that is goodmornings.net. You can also connect with us on social media, sign up for a daily email newsletter. You can reach out directly via email if you want to share something that way with us. Links on our webpage, again, goodmornings.net. So until tomorrow morning, that is Good Mornings for this morning. Now that you've had a good morning, go on out and make it a good day. We'll catch you back here tomorrow.